Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Our text today begins in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And then we're going to jump over to 1 Samuel chapter 22. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, we'll read the first 9 verses and comment, and then we'll jump over to chapter 22 and pick up with verse 8 and go to the end of the chapter. And the purpose of this is that these are a cohesive set of scriptures dealing with David going to a place called Nob, where the priests were, meeting Elimelech, and then leaving there, and then having consequence of his visit expressed to Saul with consequence to the priest for taking care of him. We'll read the passages and comment as we go. 1 Samuel chapter 21, let's read verses 1 through 9. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David, and said, Is there no common bread under mine hand? But there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest, and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put forth, or put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord. His name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is no other save that here. And David said, There is none like that. Give it me. All right, now we've got several things that are going on here. And we need to just comment on them. There are various things. And so we want to make a comment about those to make sure that you understand and have, you know, some appreciation for the things going on. Number one, Ahimelech wants to know why David's alone. That's a problem. Because David is of high enough authority in the king's command to never be traveling alone. But you know, the thing about it is that when you get to verse 4, you find out that he's not alone. He's got some young men with him, and so all of that may be a little bit confusing. It may actually be considered by some even as much as a contradiction, but watch what you see in the passage again, in the first 4 verses. David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? Now the two things that caused him fear, number one is that he was alone, and number two, that he would come to Ahimelech. Because David, in his position, really had no business being over there that the priest could determine. It was unusual, in other words, it's a very unexpected thing, and very out of the ordinary. It's like finding somebody's vehicle parked out in front of some place that they don't need to be, and you're like, what are they doing there? What's this all about? Raises that concern. And he says to him in verse 1, Why art thou alone and no man with thee? And here's David's explanation. Verse 2, David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee. and what I have commanded thee. All right, so he's saying in verse 2, the business that I have is secretive and hasty. And so there was no time. In other words, in order to get this thing done for the king without anybody else knowing what I'm doing, I had to go quickly and I had to come alone. Now notice, he says in verse 2, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. So he's not with his servants, and that's what Ahimelech means when he says, why are you alone? Why are you not with your servants? This is a man that would travel with the same traveling companions, the same servants, the people that would minister to him under ordinary circumstances. For instance, if one of our heads of state or some ambassador or something like that is going to travel from one place to another, he's going to be traveling with a personal secretary, an event coordinator, perhaps Secret Service, some other people who are going to accompany him. He's never going to be found alone. Okay? And David said, the reason I'm alone is that I have appointed my servants to such and such place. All right, now, when he says he's alone, that doesn't mean that he is solo because of verse 4. He's just not traveling with the people. In other words, he's alone from the people that he would normally travel with. And so he says, the priest answered David in verse 4 and said, there's no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. So he is traveling with some young men. Okay? So that's what's going on there. You're not dealing with any kind of a contradiction, nothing too hard to understand. You can read it all right there. Obviously, that would be very silly to assume that somebody would actually write down that David was traveling alone, i.e. solo, nobody with him, and then say in verse 4, except for the young men that are with you. I mean, you got to really be digging deep for a problem if you're going to think that that one escaped the knowledge of the people that were writing the Bible and that some guy made that type of an error. It's funny how people are looking at any kind of reason to criticize the Bible. Somebody showed me a website the other day that supposedly has 460 contradictions in the Bible, and I began to go through the list and how many of these we've already had to handle in teaching the material in the Bible, and I thought to myself, this guy is just reckless. He's grasping at any straw to come up with criticism against the Bible. He hasn't studied even the chapter sometimes well enough. And if he does know, he just doesn't want you to know that he knows, to show that there's not a contradiction there at all. And this is one of those cases. All right, so the first thing he wants to know is why he's alone. And the answer is the business of the king is secretive and hasty. And the young men that are with him are not his servants and not his ordinary traveling companions. Okay? Or ordinary entourage, if you will. All right, then next thing, notice this. David requests 5 loaves of bread. Okay? And that's enough to take care of what he needs and the needs of the men that are with him, the young men that are with him. And so the priest says, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread. Okay? Now, hallowed bread would be bread that is showbread that was put on the table of showbread. You see, they're talking about that here in verse 6. The priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. All right, so there's showbread there, and if you'll remember, in studying about the table of showbread, there are loaves of bread that are arranged on that table, 6 in a row, 12 in all. And what the priest is supposed to do is he's supposed to make fresh bread and put that in on the table of showbread and replace the bread that was there with this hot bread, this new bread. And that way, there is always what's called hallowed bread before the Lord. Now, there's a lot of significance to all the articles in the temple, and we're not going to go through and deal with all of that significance, but Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life, okay? I am the bread of life. And so this is typical of Jesus Christ. The candlestick is there. which gives light and revelation and the ability to see, is typical of the Holy Spirit. And then you've got the mercy seat, typical of God the Father. So the Trinity is well typified in the articles there in the temple. Okay. Now, this bread that was there is bread that was being replaced on the table of showbread. And that bread that's being replaced is hallowed bread because it was placed before the Lord. And you can read about this in the book of Exodus. Exodus 38 is one of the places where you're going to read about the table of showbread, but I don't want to go through the full explanation there. We'll burn all the time. Okay? So that bread is there, and that bread is hallowed because it's been put before the Lord. And yet, the priest gives that bread to David and the young men because they have been separated from women at least 3 days. In other words, if you read Leviticus chapter 15, verses 16, 18, and 20, and read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, and Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, you see that in the Old Testament, when a man and a woman were together, there was an uncleanness in that. Hebrews 13, 4, Leviticus 15, verses 16, 18, and 20, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14. In the New Testament, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the marriage bed is no longer defiled. Okay? But in the Old Testament, it was. So he says, if the men have been separated from their wives for over 3 days, then we're all right. And David said, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out. And the vessels of young men are holy. And then he says this, and the bread is in a manner common. And the bread is in a manner common. What does he mean by that? Well, what he means by that evidently is it has already been placed before the Lord and now it is being taken away. Okay? And in being taken away, it is no longer before the Lord. Okay? It should have been reserved just to the priests to eat. But in this case, because it is no longer before the Lord, he is going to allow David to eat it. Now, when Jesus Christ is here on the earth, you know, there is a question about Jesus Christ keeping the Sabbath. And, man, I'm being, those Pharisees were all over Jesus Christ about that. Eating with unwashing hands, going through and picking the ears of corn and eating on the Sabbath day. Remember, they just got after him about every little element in the law they could find. Well, they got after him in Matthew chapter 12 about going on the Sabbath day through the corn and plucking the ears of corn to eat. And in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees said, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But Jesus said unto them in verse 3, "Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the show bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests?" So Jesus Christ goes back to that episode that you're reading about right there in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and he says what they did wasn't lawful, but the priest allowed him to do it, and was persuaded to do it because it wasn't the new bread going in but the bread coming off the table. That's, you see how that thing gets stretched. But nevertheless, there's the explanation on the bread. So the bread gave him the priest gave him the hallowed bread in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 6. And then in verse 7 we find out a problem. 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 7, "Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite." Edomite is a man from Edom, and you'll remember reading earlier in Samuel that as Saul began to fight against his enemies round about, once he subdued them, if he found a good man, okay, among those that he was fighting, he would bring that man into his army. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14 in verse 47. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 47. You see that Saul took the kingdom over Israel and fought against all his enemies on every side, against Moab, against the children of Ammon, against Edom, against the kings of Zobah, against the Philistines. Whithersoever he turned himself, he vexed them. And he gathered an host and smote the Amalekites. See all that? Now watch. Look at verse 52. There was sore war against the Philistines all the days of Saul. Watch it. And when Saul saw any strong man or any valiant man, he took him unto him. So Doeg is an Edomite from an enemy of Israel, but because the enemies had been subdued, he now takes a man that was a good soldier in a former enemy and brings him into his army to be able to use this subdued kingdom to his benefit. It expands his military ability and gives him better soldiers with which to fight. So Doeg, this Edomite, is there. He's detained. He's the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David, when he's there, notices Doeg. And this becomes a real problem, as you're going to see when we get to chapter 22. So before David leaves, he's got the bread now. He sees Doeg, and then he says to Ahimelech in verse 8, "Is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." It's a lie. The king's business does not require haste, but he said it did. He was running from the king. It's an explanation as to why he doesn't have any weapons. The priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod." Makes you wonder what it was doing there. "If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There's none like that. Give it me." Of course it was. It was a big sword, but he knew how to handle it, and he'd used it to fully kill Goliath, to cut his head off after he sunk that stone down in his forehead. All right, now let's jump forward to chapter 22. Let's jump forward to chapter 22 and look over here at verse 9. "Then said Doeg the Edomite," what's happened is Saul is like, "Man, David's gone, and none of you guys are telling me where he is or what he's doing." Well, verse 9, "Then Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub." All right, who is this Ahimelech the son of Ahitub? What are we talking about here? Well, if you look at the genealogy, this is a son of Eli. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. And look at verse 3. 1 Samuel 14, 3. "And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone." All right, so what you've got here is you have Ahiah, which is another name for Ahimelech, who is the son of Ahitub, and Ahitub is Ichabod's brother. Ichabod and Ahitub are the sons of Phinehas, and Phinehas is the son of Eli. Remember all that? Okay, so now you know who you're dealing with here, an offspring of Eli. And if you remember anything about God's statement to Eli after the horrible things that Phinehas and Hophni had done, and after the bad things that Eli had done, the Lord told Eli in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 32, "Thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thy house forever." Keep reading. Verse 33, "The man of thine, whom I shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes, to grieve thine heart. And all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. This shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas in one day, they shall die both of them, and I will raise up a faithful priest, and so forth. And what happens then is he says, I'm going to cut off your seed. I said, indeed, thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the day is come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. You see that? What you've got is a terrible, terrible situation here that dates back to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and all those sins of Hophni and Phinehas and Eli. And that is, these priests that are at Nob are fixing to die, and the killer is fixing to be this Doeg, this Edomite. All right, watch. Doeg lies to Saul and says in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 10, that Ahimelech inquired of the Lord for him. He didn't do that. David just asked for bread and a sword, and gave him victuals, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Two parts of that are true, but that first part, he inquired of the Lord for him, wrong. That right there, that inquiring of the Lord for him would be like treason, particularly since David had run. So watch what happens. In verse 11, the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house. The priests that were in Nob, and they came, all of them, to the king. Saul said, hear now, thou son of Ahitub. And he answered, here I am, my lord. Saul said unto him, why have you conspired against me? He hadn't. That thou and the son of Jesse, in that thou hast given him bread and a sword, and hast inquired of God for him. He didn't. That he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day. David wasn't rising against Saul to lie in wait as it is this day. David was on the run. You know what he had done? If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10, David had run to Achish, the king of the Philistines, to try to get away from him, and then he realized he had been identified, and he started to pretend that he was a madman. You see it? So there's a lot of lying going on here. He didn't inquire. That is, Ahimelech didn't inquire for David, and David hadn't conspired and had not risen against Saul. So Ahimelech challenges the king. He says, who is so faithful among all thy servants as David, which is the king's son-in-law, and goeth at thy bidding, and is honorable in thine house? Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? Be it far from me, let not the king impute anything unto his servant, nor to all the house of my father, for thy servant knew nothing of all this, less or more. You know what you say? More or less. And the king said, thou shalt surely die, Ahimelech, thou and all thy father's house. Boy, he pronounced sentence against a priest. You know, poor old Saul had gone totally delusional. That's right. And I mean, it affects him all the way till the time he dies at the hand of the Philistines. He was absolutely delusional over David. So in verse 17, the king says to the footman that stood about him, kind of like the secret service, his guard, turn and slay the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not show it to me. But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to fall upon the priests of the Lord. They disobeyed his command. You know why? Because they knew what he was doing was absolutely insane. The king said to Doeg in verse 18, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priest and slew on that day 85 persons that wear the linen ephod. 85 priests that are offsprings of Eli, dead that day at the hand of Edom, the Edomite, Doeg. Why, you talk about total flipped out response. Verse 19, and Nob, the city of the priest, smote he with the edge of the sword, both men and women. So these are extra people that are there, not just the priest. Men and women, children and sucklings. You're talking about a total massacre. Oxen, asses, sheep with the edge of the sword. One of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. So one priest that was there survived. Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest, and David said to Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul. I have occasioned the death of all the persons in my father's house. Not exactly. I mean, David did in some respect because he went there, but not exactly because this episode is the fulfillment of the prophecy that God made to Eli that his sons would die before the flower of their age. Verse 23, Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard. David said, I'll take care of you. And so, of course, it caused Abiathar to be very loyal to David. Unfortunately, at the very end of his life, I'm talking about David's life, Abiathar made a very bad move. And we'll read about that when we get to the end of David's reign. So there you go. You have an explanation then on how God fulfilled his prophecy to Eli, the death of the priests, and you have an explanation of what some people might consider some difficulties in the text, and an explanation of how the eventual death of those priests was brought about by a guy that was actually brought into the army of Saul as a foreigner. Well, I hope this has been a helpful Bible study to you in understanding the passage and understanding the fulfillment of God's prophecy. Studying the Bible is good for you. Good doctrine helps you to understand what you're reading. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.